Okay, good afternoon, everybody. We are here at United Orthodox Synagogues in Houston, Texas, and today is Wednesday, February 27th, 2019, and we have gathered for our weekly discussion of Parshat HaShavua. This week's Parsha is the double Parsha of Vayakhel Pekudei, and we are going to focus on one or two psukim in Vayakhel. If you're following along at home with a chumash, it is chapter 35, Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21. So, and that is on page 518 in our chumashim here. And just in the context of where we are, we're in the midst of the parshiot that deal with the construction of the Mishkan, the construction of the traveling tabernacle. That traveling temple that the Jewish people had with them while they were in the desert. The parsha begins with the discussion of the laws of Shabbat, and then the contributions for the Beit HaMikdash. I'm sorry, for the Mishkan. Excuse me. What Moshe asked for from everyone, and we can look at those pesukim quickly just to get a sense of what Moshe was, what the required elements of the Mishkan were. So if you turn back one page to Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, on page 516 and 517, Vayomer Moshe el kol adat b'nei Yisrael le'mor, ze hadavar asher tziva Hashem le'mor. This is what God has commanded. Kichu me'itachem truma la'Hashem. Take from yourselves a portion for Hashem. Kol nediv libo yivyeha et trumat Hashem. Everyone whose heart motivates him shall bring it. A gift for Hashem, and this is what was needed. Zahav v'chesef u'nechoshet, gold, silver, and copper. U'techelet v'argaman v'tolat shani v'shesh v'izim, turquoise, purple, and scarlet wool, linen, and goat hair. V'arot elim me'adamim, v'arot techashim v'yatzei shitim, red dyed ramskins, tachashkins, acacia wood, v'shemen lama'or, oil for illumination. Uvesamim laShemen haMishcha, spices for the anointment oil, vilktorat haSamim and the aromatic incense, vaAvnei Shoham viAvnei Miluim leEfod vilaChoshen, Shoham stones and stones for the setting, for the Ephod and the breastplate. And then he called on people who knew how to work. V'chol chacham lev b'chem yavo v'yasu et kol asher tziva Hashem. Every wise-hearted person among you shall come and make everything that Hashem has commanded. So he asked.
Repetition.
Pardon?
It's pretty much repetition.
Yeah, there's a lot of repetition. There's a repetition, the command to do certain things, and then the declaration that certain things were done. And so now that we know what was needed, let's turn our attention to how it was brought. We're going to see an interesting discussion about how things were brought. So let's look at Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21. Vayavo kol ish asher nisa'o libo v'chol asher nadva rucho oto heviu et trumat Hashem lemlechet ohel moed ulechol avodato ulevidei hakodesh. Every man whose heart inspired him and everyone whose spirit motivated him brought the portion of Hashem for the work of the Tent of Meeting, for all its labor, and for the sacred vestments. So many of the commentaries are struck by something in this pasuk. So I'm not going to give it away. I'll ask you, what questions do you have about this verse?
Well, there's two different kinds of inspiration there. There's from the heart and mm-hmm. from the spirit.
Exactly. That's exactly the question that many of the Mefarshim asked. And it is, let me just repeat the question. It says, Vayavo'u kol ish asher nisa'o libo. Everyone who, our translation is, whose heart inspired them. V'chol asher nadvarucho. And everyone whose, everyone whose heart motivated him. Everyone whose heart inspired him, and everyone whose spirit motivated him. So what's the difference? What's the difference, the commentaries ask, between Nisa'o Libo and Nadvarucho? That's what we're going to discuss today. Okay, yeah.
I just would like to say that This is a moment where Torah first time describes the concept of democracy. What does it mean? It means that nation, newborn nation, can only function if some taxation is actually collected.
Uh-huh.
And what is actual taxation? It's forceful by government to take something from people. What we see over here, taxation which been enforced, this is places which been surrounded Jews in those time, there were authoritarian royalty. Over here, I would say first democratic concept, when Moshe pleaded to Jewish people by saying, tell me please, give us as a new nation what your intellect and your heart can see.
But it still seems like it doesn't seem like it's forced, right? This is voluntary.
Yes.
Right.
It's what the nation is.
Right.
This is a major difference. And I surprised that we don't teach it. That's what actually appeal by Torah.
Right. Okay.
I thought
okay.
It was
hold on. One at a time. One at a time.
Originally.
It does not seem that way.
No, it starts
this way.
Sana? In Pasuk Dalet, yeah. When he
immediately
said,
when I saw this Pasuk,
yeah.
Asher Nedva Libo is something that you kind of have to do it. It's like Maasel kind of.
Okay.
It was commanded. And what Asher Nedva Rucho is above, like more than what Nedva Libo.
So Nasoli Bo, you're saying, Nasoli Bo, you're saying is what's required,
yeah,
and Nadva Rucho is above and beyond what they're asking.
Maybe. I do not agree.
But there's no indication of what's required, right?
No, the Bnei Israel didn't learn already that they have to give
Maaseh.
This is different. No, this is different. This is specifically to build the Beit to build the Mishkan, and even in the Pasuk, hey, where it says, Kichu Meitchem Trumal Hashem, from who? From who? Kichu from who? Kol Nediv Libo. Doesn't say
no,
from everybody.
First of all, first it's a tzivui, kol lachem tuma. Later, as if there is a minimum payment, and later
but
it,
no, but right away it says, kichu meitchem truma l'Hashem kol nediv libo, from anyone who is nediv libo.
I would make a pause a little bit after that, and then...
No, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Okay. We have to go back. We have to go back earlier, and maybe we'll do that afterwards. There are things that were required, right? At certain times, there were certain things that were required. But for example,
according to all Rosh,
if you look at in Parshat Truma, right? Again, it says if you go back to 444. Right? Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber El Bnei Yisrael Vikhu Li Truma, Me'et Kol Ish Asher Yidvenu Libo.
Oh, so only if you want.
Yeah, and if you look at Rashi, Lashon Nidava, Vuhu Lashon Ritzon Tov.
Yeah, but it's a common knowledge to have Ritzon Tov.
But it's different than it's different.
Expected of you to have.
Yeah, it's expected is different than required, right? Okay. So let's try to get down to the bottom of the difference between these two concepts of nisa'o libo and nadva rucho. Okay. So Rashi is silent on it. Rashi does not offer any interpretation. So I'll share with you just briefly one interpretation, then we'll get into more detail. Some interpretations have it talking about two different groups of people. One are the artisans and the Kohanim, and one group is everyone else. Okay, so it's maybe talking about two different groups of people. And so if there are two different groups of people, then you can understand why different words are used to describe them or to explain them. Okay? One group is described as Nisa'olibo, and one group is described as Nadvarucho. But there are other commentaries who see this as talking about the same people. And then the question is, why are people in the same group called Nisa'olibo and Nadvarucho? So the first commentary I want to share with you is from the Or HaChaim. And he has a very interesting take on this. The Or HaChaim, we'll see, and then we'll also see the Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. They both distinguish between a personality type of who is called a Nisa'olibo, again translated as someone's heart has inspired them, as opposed to whose spirit motivated them, right? One is Lev and one is Ruach, one is Nisa'o, one is Nadva, right? One is uplifted and one is motivated and one is heart and one is spirit. So let's see. So says the Or HaChaim, you don't have this in front of you, I'm going to read it and translate as we go. It says as follows. Vayavo kol ish asher niso, he quotes the pasuk, perush omer v'nasoli bo, and then he quotes the other part, v'nidvarucho, ki yesh shtei hadragot b'mit nadvim. There are two levels when it comes to people who contribute. Ha'echad hu ha-mitnadev biratzon nafsho kifia cholato ve'erech mamono. A person who says, all right, they're building a new shul, Mirtz Hashem, and I want to contribute. So I'm going to open up my bank account. I'm going to have a very careful calculation of how much I have and how much I can afford kifia cholato ve'erech mamono in accordance with their ability and their financial position. This is what the Or HaChaim says is the first group of people. I'm sorry, is the second group of people. The second group of people is Nadvarucho. Nadvarucho. The second group. Yeah, Nadvarucho. Lishlol she'eno oseh hadavar kimo tsa'ar b'nafsho. These people are not doing anything that is going to hurt. They're going to give what they can afford because they've made a careful, cold calculation of what they can afford, and they're going to do it, right? Right, and it's not going to cause them any sort of pain in the kishkas because they know they can afford it. Like I said, they opened up, they checked their with their financial advisor, and this is what they could do. That's one type of giver, and that's wonderful. V'habet hu ha-mitnadev yoter mi'yicholato. The second group, which is the first one listed, right? Nisa'olibo. V'habetu ha-mitnadev yoter mi'yicholato, migodel toviot libo. Right? This person is giving more in his proportion because he has this enthusiasm, right? All of a sudden, oh my goodness, they're building the Mishkan, and without even thinking about it, he writes a check. Right, he's just so excited. They're just so excited about it. His heart makes him feel really richer than he really is. He's excited. Here, the heart is not the seat of the intellect; it's the emotion. They're so excited about this project that they just sort of almost like a reflexive reaction to the excitement they give. This is so amazing. The Or HaChaim is saying things never change, right? This is the way that people give now, and this is the way that people give then. Back in the time of the Mishkan, there were these different types of people. Moshe announced, we're building a Mishkan, and this is what we need. And people reacted in two different ways. U'patach b'me'ula she'bishnehem v'amar kol asher ish asher nisa'o libo v'dikdek lomar tevat ish lashon chashivut. How do we know that the first one is the better one? because the word ish is used. Ish is often used to describe not just, it doesn't just mean the word person. It means important person, right? So the Pirkei Avot says, "B'makom she'ein ish, hishtadel liyot ish." Right? When there's no one who's a stand-up person, you should stand up and be the stand-up person, right? So ish is not just a person. V'diteik lomar tevat ish lashon chashivut. So the first one is the one which is considered to be more important, because they're the ones who allow themselves to be carried away by the moment. Uchneged habet amar v'chol asher nidvar rucho v'lo amar ish. When it comes to the other, the second one, v'chol asher nidvar rucho, it doesn't say ish. Mm-hmm. It's everyone else. Everyone else who is not super excited about this, but nonetheless, for whatever reason, Jordan Block, who I believe is listening from Israel, says that maybe there was some sort of peer pressure going on. You know, this is what happens when you have an appeal in shul. The person sitting next to you gives money, and they announce Mr. and Mrs. Yankel and Chaya Schwartz, $1,000. Uh-oh, I better give something, right? Because the person, right? So maybe there's some peer pressure. Whatever the reason is, they're not called ish, right? V'kneged habet amar v'chol ashen edvar rucho v'lo amar ish ki enu chashuv be'erech harishon. M'motza davar ata yodea ki lo hayu b'chol ha-mitnadim ela bet hadragot. Now the Orach Chaim mentioned something else. What's missing from this list?
The amount?
Isha?
Not the amount. Well, no. Well, yes, Isha is missing, but...
If you're poor, what is the minimum?
Kohanim?
No.
Kohanim?
No.
Okay, I don't know.
No, not
the
Kohanim.
People who don't give anything.
Okay.
It says, Vayavo kol ish asher naso libo, v'chol asher nedvar rucho. And now, maybe we wouldn't expect it, but it doesn't say, and there were some people who didn't give anything.
We assume everybody gives.
That's what the Orach Chaim says. He says exactly. Mm-hmm. He says as follows. What we see from this, atayodea ki lo hayu b'chol ha-mitnadim ela bet hadragot ubet l'shevach. Only two groups, and that's to the credit of Bnei Yisrael, shenadvu b'libam v'lo asu hadavar b'chisaron ratzon halev ela she'achad gadol mi'chavero. There were only two groups. There was, not only was there no one who didn't give, there was not even anyone who gave begrudgingly. There was one group of people who said, okay, I'm going to give, but I'm going to give what I can afford. There was another group who said, I'm just going to give. But there was no one who said, ugh,
again.
Another appeal.
So
I got to give again, right? Hold on, let me just finish this. There was no one who said that. Everyone gave happily. Some very excited, some more sober, but everyone gave happy. It just means that one group gave more than the other. Everyone gave what they were able to give, and there was no, by writing the words, the Torah testifies that all the donors were sufficiently highly motivated to do this on their own. And he says, I mentioned this elsewhere as well. So according to the Orach Chaim, Nesa'o Ish Asher Neso Libo are those who were just so excited about it that they just gave above and beyond what they're really able to. And the second group was the group that gave what they were able to, but also with a sense of happiness about the project.
When people have a goal, when people have such a high-level target, they do things in enthusiasm and very, very happily, and they want to achieve and to do it. It reminds me of the beginning of the State of Israel. We were all like, wow,
right.
Let's build Eretz Israel.
Right.
No, so everybody was so patriot.
Like, excellent.
We were excellent. Super duper patriotism.
Okay.
So it's the same thing, like building the Mishkan for Hashem. It's something so high. So everybody that even didn't have anything.
Right. That's what he says. Right. Right. Exactly. That's what he says earlier. Trumat Hashem, if you look back, and you're making a very good point, Chan, if you look back on Pasuk Hey, verse 5, back on 516, Kichu meitchem truma la Hashem, kol nidiv libo yivieha et trumat Hashem. Mm-hmm. Right, this was for God. Yeah. This was for, and so people got very excited.
I
yes, exactly.
We were students. We went. We dug tunnels.
Right. So, someone online is asking people who didn't give. It's possible that people didn't give, but there's no mention of it. And the Or HaChaim seems to think that there are only two groups: those who gave with this super level of excitement, and those who gave with less excitement, but also with joy. Yeah. Yeah.
But maybe there were bodedim. So
could be. Yeah. It could be. Yeah.
Now, but there is But there is another category here in the next pasuk. We call chacham lev.
That's the people. Those are the artisans.
Amen.
Those are the artisans. Those are the people who could make things. Mm-hmm. And so they gave their time. That's in back in the beginning of the parak. That's in
Yud.
Pasuk Yud. Right, Yavo v'Ya'asu.
Yeah,
they will come and make. Those are the artisans.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is the Or HaChaim, and it's very nice. And so now we have the Netziv, another view. Kol ish asher nisa'o libo v'chol asher nedvarucho, and he says too, de b'shnei ofanim notein adam nidava. People give in two ways. Yesh minadev machmat ki levavo makehu im lo yitain ke echad mechaverav. This is interesting. Some people give because they feel, this is what mentioned earlier, their friends gave. And if they don't give, they're going to be embarrassed. Right? Ki levavo makehu im lo yitain ke echad mechaverav yihye lecherpa. O yisa oncho al ha'alamat ayin, or they fear they're going to be punished by averting their eyes to the need of the day. That's one group. They're still giving, but this is a lower level than the Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim did not suggest that anyone gave begrudgingly or only because they were afraid of punishment or being embarrassed. You know, they're going to have a plaque in the Mishkan. Right, that says the Aron Kodesh was donated by the so-and-so family, right? And if I don't get my name up there, I'm going to be embarrassed. That's one group. V'zeh nikra nisa'o libo. This is so interesting. The Or HaChaim said the nisa'o libo are the better people, right? The chol ish, we have o kol ish asher nisa'o libo. Your heart carries you away. The Netziv says your heart makes you feel guilty. Right, it's a very different way of looking at emotions, right? So the Netziv says the heart is the one that it's also the seat of your emotions. But he's suggesting that another emotion takes root here and is more powerful, and that is, I really don't want to give, but I'm going to give because I don't want to be embarrassed or because I don't want to be punished. The Zenikra Nisa'o Libo. That's the heart. V'yesh minadev mishum shesichlo v'rucho hatova miyatzehu litein. Another group gives because v'chol asher nadvarucho. That is v'alzekativ asher nadvarucho. That is your spirit, right? Shesichlo, your intellect, v'rucho hatova, and your good nature, your good spirit, miyatzehu, advises you. Right, advises you to give, not because this is on your own. Right, the first group of people give because of some external pressure, whether it's peer pressure or religious pressure or fear of punishment. The other group gives not because of any external pressure, because they are self-motivated. Rucho, right? Val zekativ asher nidva rucho. Right, so. And well done, Jordan, for thinking about that. And that is what the Netziv says. So you have what they agree on, the Or HaChaim and the Netziv, is that they agree we're talking about two different groups of people. Meaning it's not the same large group of people, but two different types of givers, as opposed to some of the other commentaries who saw one group as the artisans or the Kohanim, and then everyone else. This is everyone, but within the large pool of Bnei Yisrael, some groups are more, some people are according to the Or HaChaim, are giving because of a cold calculation, and some are giving out of excitement. And according to the Netziv, some are giving because of some external reason, and some are giving because they feel that they want to do it. Now, the Netziv adds another interesting point, right? At the end, what happens? The Netziv notes, and if we look at a further pasuk, if we look at Chavtet 20:29, the Netziv notes. Let's read the pasuk. Kol ish v'isha asher nadav libam. Otam lahavi lechol hamilacha asher tziva Hashem lasot biyad Moshe heviu bnei Yisrael nidava laHashem. What do you make of that pasuk? We only have in this verse which group? Nadva libam. It's a combination. Naso libo. So we have here. Nadav libam. So some people have pointed out something very interesting.
He combined the two together.
Well, he combined them, mm-hmm. right?
Because he's using the poal nadav,
right?
Where the musar is libam, and the object is libam.
Right.
Where
so
the other object is rucham.
Right. So there's a Rabbi Carmiel Cohen, who teaches in Yeshiva Birkat Moshe. And he makes the following observation about this pasuk. He says, "Shnei sugei notnim elu kayamim b'chol mitziyut shel netina." These two different types of givers exist in all matters related to giving. Va'af b'netina l'mishkan hayu ke'elu v'hayu ke'elu. Even when it comes to the mishkan, there were some who were externally motivated and some who were internally motivated. Ela shachidush b'netina l'mishkan. What's unique about the giving to the Mishkan, Hayash Shnei Sugei Notnim Hayurak Bishlav Harishoni. This breakdown, or this distinction between the two groups was only in the first stage when the request was made, right? Or some earlier stage, okay? He says, Ulam Bishlav HaNetina Atzma. When it came to the actual giving, kulam natnu l'shem shamayim. Right? Even if what may have originally motivated you was some external pressure, when you finally brought your check to the office, or when you finally stuck it in the mailbox, or whatever it was, you already, your motivation changed to being for the sake of heaven. Zot lomed hanitziv mi pasuk chavtet. The Netziv learns this from verse 29, as the chapter continues, Kol ish v'isha, asher nadav libam otam lavi lechol hamlacha shetiva Hashem lasot biyad Moshe heviu bnei Yisrael nidava laHashem. The fact that he uses the word nidava, which is what the Netziv said was the higher level of giving, he says at the end, what did everyone bring? Everyone brought a nidava. He continues to point out that this phrase nidava, right, the Netziv understands, is talking about the second group of people who originally did not want to give l'shem shamayim, right? Did not want to give for proper purposes, only because of external reasons. However, these people also sort of came around, and b'sofo shel davar, when all is said and done, they brought nidava laHashem. Everything was on the same level. The same result. This actually falls into another idea that we find popularized by the Sefer HaChinuch, where he makes this statement, Acharei ha-pe'ulot nimshachot ha-levavot. Right, that our feelings follow our actions, not the other way around. So if you do something enough, you'll become accustomed to it and feel good about it. Right, this is this idea that we give our kids a penny every morning when they go to school, and we have them put a penny in the pushka. What's that going to do? It trains them, right? Of course you give tzedakah when the pushka comes around, right? It's our actions follow, our hearts follow our actions. Some people think that's the other way around, that once we're motivated to do something, then we'll do it. And this is teaching us that if you want to be motivated, do it first, sort of force yourself to do it, or do it out of some ulterior motive, and then you'll want to do it on your own. So that may be what's going on here too, that this group of people was giving it because of embarrassment or because of fear of punishment, but once they actually realized that they were doing it, their mind frame changed, and they actually did it from a positive, out of a positive way. What's that? They ended up liking it. They ended up appreciating and realizing that it was important and not something they should only be doing out of a sense of guilt or fear. Yeah.
I just would like to point out that those people, they're doing it against their nature. Therefore, their action is actually higher.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because
right.
Somebody who acts from his or her impulses, they don't need internal work. They don't need...
So this is a fascinating question that exists in different philosophical works in Judaism. Who's considered to be, you're raising a great question, a better Oved Hashem? Who's considered to be a greater servant of God? A person, let's say, who has a Yetzer Hara, right, a real desire to break Shabbat or eat non-kosher, and they overcome it, or a person who has no desire, right? Who's considered to be better? So I believe it's the Rambam distinguishes between the two. The Rambam says that when it comes to certain things like eating non-kosher, the better Oved Hashem is the one who overcomes
the Yetzer Hara.
When it comes to certain ethical and moral shortcomings, like immoral sexuality, right? Then the better Oved Hashem, then you really don't want to be tested, right? Then it's better to be the person who has no desire to do that at all. So that's a great point.
Torah gives us an answer because Pinchas, who acted on those spiritual moments,
right,
did not become a leader of Jewish people. We know that leaders can, first of all, emotions cannot continue for a long time. It's a moment. We always live for the moment. Life takes a precedent, and you need to act and force yourself to do something good. And
right.
This is actually a philosophical lesson from Torah and,
right.
and actually Pinchas.
Although Pinchas was not, he sort of God gave him, God praised him for doing what he did.
But did not elevate him. And it's true. We do understand and praise like those pioneers, Colosseum, because they were ready to give away their lives. Next generation would not do it.
So I think this point that you raised at the end is really a fascinating discussion. Maybe we'll talk about it more at length another time, about, you know, who's considered to be the greatest, right, Tzaddik. And we see here a very important lesson at the end, which I think is a good way for us to end, which is that sometimes, you know, people say to me sometimes, I don't feel motivated to come to shul, so I don't come. I said, you have it backwards. You have it backwards.
That's
you got to come to shul,
and then
hopefully, or you got to come to a class, and you got to participate. The motivation is not going to come,
out of
nowhere. You have to do something, and then hopefully your heart will follow. Okay, everyone, have a wonderful day. Thank you.